The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How are you guys doing? Welcome over here to the channel. I'm going to tell you guys right now, we got Tardio back.
Hi.
He is back. He's been handling a lot of family issues and now are nice, smooth out, and he's now... Living conditions are now just down the road for me. So you guys
get a little bit better. It's getting better.
You'll see him a whole bunch more, which is good. We just launched a new podcast. You guys need to go check it out. It's underneath the Speak the Truth thing. It's just called The Rundown. Go check it out. It's going to be 3 days a week all this month. Yeah, and then starting in June, it's going to be 5 days a week. Okay, because he's trying to fix his schedule. He can come on these more and more and more. Same thing with these videos. You'll see him 3 days a week, and then you'll see him 5 days a week, 6 days a week, whatever it is, coming in June. So go check it out. It'll be linked at the very top of the description. You guys can find it on Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your, you guys get your podcast. It's like, you can just type in Speak the Truth, go follow it. The first episode just went up today. It's exclusive content over there. Go listen to it. It is everything you want to listen to when it comes to world issues, everything that's going on, and it is the truthful stuff, stuff you probably didn't even know that was going on.
And not one-sided.
Not one-sided at all. So the God honest truth, the kind of stuff you guys want to listen to, please go listen to it. It is, it's good. I think it is really good. Every single day, starting in June, and 3 days a week this month. So right out the gate, we're going to talk about Ukraine. He knows a lot about Ukraine. I know, unfortunately, way too much. I literally sleep, breathe, and defecate Ukraine stuff. That's literally all I do. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, there's an order going around that's apparently talking about the fact that a Polish general staff that's showing multiple Polish airborne units that have been put on high combat readiness near the Polish-Ukraine border. By the way, this is fake. Just want to throw this one out there. The order says, okay, it says right now that you can push into Lviv and secure these targets. So I want to tell you guys, if you've seen any of these, it's being circulated all over it. And I had a little bit of skepticism on it. The general who addressed inside of this order is actually retired. So the guy that gave the order inside this little published order, which they could see, it's he's retired, by the way, and a lot of people don't
know.
How
long has he been retired? Like a week?
I don't even look.
We do not approve of that order. Retired.
but the date looks photoshopped as well. I just want everybody to know. The date is also photoshopped. If you guys see this thing going around, it's fake. Okay. Just want you guys to know that I believed it to be fake. Okay.
You know what? It actually probably could be as well, as it probably could be like a military exercise.
I thought
like
it was going to be a training exercise.
Right. Because militaries do that kind of crap all the time.
But it's not real. Okay. So the city of Lviv was also struck by two Russian cruise missiles and they targeted electrical stations, by the way. And this is not something that we've seen the Russians do multiple times. This is what they do. You know, they just go after electrical grids, food supplies, ammo, fuel.
Infrastructure's huge.
That's pretty much
infrastructure
it.
Infrastructure is huge. If you want to cripple military, economy, whatever the case may be, go after the infrastructure.
A country,
go after the infrastructure.
The strikes also knocked out a power in majority of the city, by the way. This is, once again, they're just going after the infrastructure. Half the power inside the city of Lviv is currently out and gone. Ukrainian border guards, by the way, have been building concrete barricades on the bridges that cross the border crossing between Transnistria, which is not a real country, by the way, and Ukraine. Just want everybody to know who's listening. Transnistria, not a real country. It's only seen by Russia to be a real country. It's not. It's like Crimea. It literally is. It's not. It's part. Anyway, this is not. I just want to throw it out there. This is one. This was taken a few days ago. It's not the one that was taken out. Excuse me. A few days ago by Russian missiles. The Russian missiles have been hitting the bridges leading into Ukraine. This is one that's actually a little bit further south and effectively blocks any ground assault that could be heading into Odessa. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I do not believe that the Transnistrian forces have the ability to even get an inch.
Nobody's gonna play with Odessa, man.
It's not gonna happen.
They might want Odessa. No. Like Russia wants Odessa for obvious reasons, but they ain't getting Odessa.
Russia tried to get Odessa. They've had three of their ships sunk by a country that does not have a navy.
Correct.
Can we just let that one sink in?
How many amphibious assaults?
Dude, they were supposed to have the second most powerful navy in the world.
They are assaulting a defended position. Like, I'll say it before and I'll say it again. You're going to get your ass handed. You're going to get your booty handed to you every time you would try to assault a dug-in positions. I don't care who you are. I don't care what air power you have, what navy you have. You're going to get it handed when you start going into those positions.
It's just so goofy when I say that out loud. I think about that. It's like I could imagine America losing a ship to anybody, but let alone a country that doesn't even have a navy. All right. Anyway, Israel is now actually supposed to be giving and discussing supplying Ukraine with military aid. Now, I did see this thing coming when they were starting to say that Hitler had Jewish bloodlines and now they're trying to put Putin and all this. It's just so goofy. They said they're going to not give them advanced weapons, by the way, or air defense systems. Mm-hmm. They're off the table. It's just they're going to give them defensive systems, personal combat gear, and warning systems, which we know that they probably have really good warning systems.
Yeah. So, I mean, no, Israel 100% has been the forerunner in all this crap because of everything that they're dealing when it comes to Palestine.
100%.
Like air coverage and everything else. Like,
yeah, they have one that's a laser now. Yeah. It costs $1.50 to shoot. Do you know this? It's like $1.50 a shot. It's a laser. Hits something. Yeah. Another old depot has been caught fire. Here we go again. Once again, Russian held territory. And you guys know this is just outside of Donetsk in the town of, I'm not going to be able to pronounce it. I actually asked him and I wasn't incorrect. Makivka. Anyway, doesn't really matter. It was hit by a Ukrainian. I can't do it. I try, but it's just outside of Severodonetsk, which is a one of the Russian held areas of Ukraine, essentially. That's been held since what, 2014?
Well, it's just north of Luhansk.
Okay, so but, it's yeah. been held. I think it's 2014.
And so, like right now, they've got like this little
circle
cup. Bubble.
Cup. Bubble. Bubble's a better way to put it. It was actually hit by Ukrainian artillery. It detonated two. By the way, two. I held up three fingers, but I meant to say two oil containers that had 5,000 tons in them each. There's 11 more containers that are inside this area. I actually have a video I'm going to share with you guys right now. So if you guys are listening on podcast, it's basically just everything's on fire. Essentially, the fire's actually been geolocated. If you don't know this, they've been geolocated. And I have some images I want to share with you guys, a satellite imagery of the actual tanks. And then you guys can actually see the area they're coming from. But these tanks are all in line, of course. But Russia's been having a significant problem with logistics on getting fuel. So this is a fairly large blow to the eastern side of the country to get fuel in. So Ukraine is doing the same thing that Russia is doing to them.
Correct.
It's a logistical war, which is kind of ironic in the sense that Russia wants to take over Ukraine, but they're going to destroy Ukraine to take it over and then be forced to rebuild it if they're able to take it over.
Right.
Mariupol.
The logistical issue is the same thing we've been talking about like since the early days of this conflict, right? Like Russia's outrunning their supply lines. Ukraine knows that. They let them get in a little bit deep, cut their stuff off, and push them back. It's pretty basic warfare.
So what happened inside of the north.
Right.
And then all their men were cut off on the northeast side of Kyiv, and they could not find a way to get supplies into them.
And again, it's just common sense stuff that we've been able to call over time. Like it's pretty...
If you didn't know this, the armed forces of Belarus have now declared a snap combat readiness check. I don't want to laugh about this. But all military reaction forces across the country beginning today. The Belarusian Defense Ministry has actually said this, that these drills do not pose a threat to neighboring countries or the European community.
Yeah, neither did Russia. It was building up on the border for obvious reasons, man, right? Like, they're exercises.
Goofy. Anyway, I've been waiting for this. Inside
of the sovereign nation. Mind your business.
I've been waiting for Belarus to actually drive a spearheading element down to the Ukrainian-Polish border to cut off supplies. I've been waiting for this to happen. But I want to tell you right now, the Belarusian military is 100% correct when they say they do not pose a threat to the surrounding countries because they know they would get mopped up if they tried to push in and try to cut off the supply. Like, the Ukrainian military would mop the floor with the Belarusian military.
Yeah.
And the fact is, I don't even know if the Belarusian military would actually follow all the orders from their superior officers. I'm not even fully sure that would be a thing.
I'm sure they would try.
But I'm sure
they would try, but like once they step off, and it's the same issue Russia had, once they step off maintaining communication for everything that's going on and then picking up with that fog of war, there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
The Ukrainian State Border Service have actually said that they are ready if Belarus decides to join the war. Belarus has actually begun its large-scale drills today, and then they're supposed to put these drills out for the next couple of weeks or whatever, and whatever it's supposed to be. But anyway, residents have actually spotted the columns of military vehicles moving in the direction of Lithuania and Ukraine. So once again, it's the same thing that we saw Russia do back in November, December, January, leading up into the invasion inside of February.
So
there's that. Russia State TV is also back to doing the thing they know best, which is just pushing a bunch of propaganda stuff. Anytime. Every time they're on. Literally, yep. It's the most goofy stuff anyway. I wish you would have been here for the last 2 weeks and actually seen the Russian state TV stuff that I keep finding. It's gone from Ukraine is full of Nazis to Ukraine is praising gay people. It's like, why in the world is this way?
I bring that up all the time, man. If you want to see like a real country that's like about oppression, look at Russia towards the gay population, the homosexual population. Like, they don't like them. I've said it before, and I've been criticized for it. I'm like, if you're gay in Russia and you're walking down the street openly as a gay human being, you're liable to get the crap kicked out of you.
Yeah, I can see that.
And so, like, they use that, and they play on their population because Russia is also fighting this whole propaganda propaganda war within their own country because it's very unfavorable for their people. And so they're trying to find any little avenue they can to start gaining some sort of favor from their people.
Well, this time this guy wants to come on, this host. He comes on, he runs over to Mariupol, he picks up an in-law. All right, he wants to just show the superiority that Russia has. But I want to tell you guys right now, imagine this, showing up with an in-law, which is pretty advanced, trying to say that this thing is inferior to an RPG and actually believing it. Like an in-law. I think an in-law costs $40,000 a shot. I think is what it is.
One's a direct fire weapon.
And one is actually fire and forget.
Right.
And I don't know if you guys realize this. An RPG, I've had a few shot at me, and so has he. They don't fly straight. Like, do circles sometimes. If a fin comes off, they'll shoot this way.
They also, like, self-destruct at issues.
They're not reliable, okay? An in-law locks on the target. You fire the son of a gun and you throw it down and just run away.
And it also has the ability for like top attack mode and a couple other things.
Bunker right? busters like, and everything. Right. Like it has so. This guy wants to, it's just kind of ironic. The video I'm about to show you guys, he goes on there and shows how powerful it is, how superior Russia it is. This tube that he's showing is legitimately worthless because it's actually been expended, which means that this thing was actually shot at Russian armor at some point. So,
or the Russians realized their RPGs were garbage and captured MLA and shot the MLA.
That's a better way to put it. So here's that. Here's Russian State TV claiming that whatever.
Вот эта игрушечка. Вот она. Хорошо видно. Это британская MLA. Вот тубус от британской MLA. Если у кого-то есть сомнения, то вот написано. Вот здесь был прицел, вот, рукоятка держаться, вот здесь был прицел, ребята приходовали, тынц-тынц, смотришь и работаешь.
And we have another Russian state piece, which I actually love, and I know you guys enjoy this, but right now, they're claiming that any opponent to the letter Z must understand that they will not be spared. By the way, letter Z, I've talked about this multiple times, Z is basically the new swastika.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, they're calling for concentration camps, re-education camps, and sterilization. So enjoy that video.
Вот эти буквы Z должны понимать, что если они рассчитывают, что их пощадят, нет, их не пощадят. Нет, это все по-серьезному уже. Это в случае чего концлагеря, перевоспитание, это, так сказать, стерилизация, это все очень серьезно.
I gave you a phone call about that a while ago.
Yes, and now we're talking about sterilization. This is the same thing that China was doing with the re-education camps of the Uyghur people.
Right. This is when
right? Is it Uyghurs? Anyway, sterilization.
Right. I want to say it was like over a month ago when I gave you a phone call and was like, hey, I'm getting reports of this. Have you heard about it? And you're like, interesting. No.
I haven't, actually.
Yeah.
And now
and that
Russia's
was taking place outside
it.
Of Mariupol, and now it's actually come to light. Yep.
Russia has now banned the Japanese prime minister and foreign minister from entering the country. This would actually really help with their tensions over the Kuril Islands that's been going on for the last 80 to 90 years. So solid move, Russia. That should pan out really well. And I've seen a few people sharing a video, by the way, which is coming out of Finland. It's supposed to be Finnish military moving equipment towards the Russian border over a pending decision to join NATO. By the way, this is not the factual thing on that. So let's go ahead and play the video of the equipment. I'll tell you guys what it is. The real truth is that Finland is not moving this equipment towards the Russian border due to joining NATO. It's actually moving these tanks and heavy equipment for an exercise. It's actually called Arrow 22 that was scheduled for over a year ago. Just to clear the air for anyone that was wondering why Finnish military might be moving their equipment. Well, these countries that work with NATO, they like to do operations together, training ops, so they can keep up to date and working with other groups. Because you got to think about it, when you're working in another country that doesn't speak your language, you probably want to keep up to date.
Got to make sure you mesh.
You mesh a little bit. So that's pretty much what's going on. So Ukraine has now received 80 of the 90 howitzers that were pledged to them by the United States. They have received 90,000 of the 144,000 howitzer rounds that was given to them inside the, I can't remember how many billions it was, 30, right. 33 billion.
Right, that's a big deal.
3.3 billion, gosh dang.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't remember the exact amount. I think it was 33 billion. Anyway, that's a big deal. So they got them. Okay, so we're going to be talking about Kharkiv for a little bit. As you guys do know, there's been some stuff that's going on. I want to let you know. Look at my pretty little map.
It's beautiful.
You like that map? So anybody who is new, I draw these up every single day. Red, Russia, blue, Ukraine. You got your mined areas, which you see right here. Logistical routes, Kupiansk, which is kind of funny. You know that I called Kupiansk as being the logistical hub before any, like 2 weeks before anybody did, just because of the amount of routes that came into it.
Common sense.
And Kupiansk is the hub. Now, with Kupiansk being the hub, I'm going to tell you guys right now, howitzers are about to do their job in a massive way. So American howitzers have actually seen to found their targets for the first time just outside of Kharkiv. I have an aerial image I want to show you guys. This is coming from the town of Veseli, which is it's a fairly large supply convoy that is trying to utilize the woods as concealment. So I want to tell you guys right now, woods as concealment, it's good, but it's not going to stop a howitzer from, well,
doing howitzer things.
It's not, yeah.
No.
So,
as a matter of fact, even if it bursts above, it's better that way.
Still going to do it.
It's going to do a lot of damage when it bursts above.
So that was one of the supply routes that was coming in. And the video you're about to see is actually of the same convoy that was trying to hide from the American-made artillery being used by the Ukrainians. So enjoy that. So Ukrainian forces have taken the town of Moldova, which is just right here. And it has been said, I have not confirmed it, by the way, that they have also taken the town of Stary Sativ. I'm not 100% confident in that, so I'm just going to leave it as it is. As you guys can see on the map, they have an assaulting element. They have multiple assaulting elements actually pushing north-northwest right now. The main route that they need to get through is to take the bridge that goes across Stary Sativ on that, I can't see really what, it's a Severnodesk River. So they need to take that main bridge. I'm going to assume the Russians may actually blow the bridge if they lose this city. I want to say they would, but the problem with that being if they think they're going to come back and take Kharkiv, then they got to find a new route in through this area. So maybe they don't. What do you think? Do you think they actually blow that bridge?
There's no way.
You don't think
there's
so?
There's no way if they want to assault back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you think they're actually going to want to come back through Kharkiv at some point if they lose this
absolutely
area?
Absolutely. Like, it's key terrain. They
need it. I just think about it because the thing is, if you look at the mapping, the reason why they would want to push through Stary Sativ, that would actually put, if they are actually being able to take that, that would put American, like the howitzers, in range of actually targeting the main supply routes mm-hmm. coming down in.
Yep.
So that's why that area is such, it's so crucial for the Russians to actually hold. And I have a video of the 92nd Mechanized Brigade actually liberating the village. So here is that for you guys.
Вот так освобождаем, шаг за шагом, село за селом. Нашу землю.
Слава Україна!
Героям слава!
Слава!
Заходим, рады?
Конечно! Сейчас мы не найдем, потому что...
Все, вскрываем. Давай топор.
Топор. Все, давай. Теперь скажу, мы вернулись.
Я? Там же что? Я сегодня.
Нет,
я не
какая
могу.
Уволенная? Вот Кабрик вас назначает на
мы
тоже.
Объединили округа, поэтому...
Мы сейчас их объединим, и вы будете рулить Шестаковым.
Да, ну, нет.
But we are going to wait over the next 24 hours to get confirmation on that. And that is the case. I mean, this is another indication that the Russian forces inside of the area of Kharkiv, they had 7 BTGs worth of men. And a lot of people don't realize, I don't believe that their 7 BTGs worth of men is actually 700,000 like they claim. I think it's more like 350 to 500 max in a BTG.
And it could have been that's what they started with.
That's what they started. And I really don't believe that they have, it's 7,000 men inside of this area. I think they're so... hurting for men, I think it could be 3,000. Like, Between, I really do think so. Like, if you're looking,
that's a reasonable number.
That seems a little bit, and they're getting pushed back, like pretty heavily. And you put these howitzers and all these bigger artillery.
It's a game inside, changer.
It's a massive game changer. We're talking about What do they get? 90,000 rounds. 90,000 rounds.
It's a lot, man.
Okay, so the amount. So realize this, by the way. We gave them 90 howitzers. 144,000 rounds is more rounds than the barrels can take of those 90 howitzers.
Right.
I did the math on this. I think it was about a week ago. And it was like 30,000 extra rounds.
Well, you now, better bet that they'll shoot those barrels out in that war, bro. You better believe it.
But I was also thinking the amount of charge that's on each round could also dictate the amount of rounds they could push through
Correct.
Those barrels.
Correct.
But either way, they still have more rounds than the barrels could take. So that's meaning they literally can shoot those things nonstop until the barrels are
Do we sell them a maintenance package?
I don't know if we sold them a maintenance package. These guys barely even knew how to use the damn howitzers when they got them.
I'm dead serious, though.
They didn't. They dead didn't know serious. How to use them. We've been training them in Germany. Yeah. You know that? We've been literally training all these men in Germany. Mm-hmm. But now they're bringing them over. So down here inside the Izium area, so you guys are aware, before we move on down to Mariupol, there is a very large, like, look how large this assaulting element is that's coming down.
Yep.
There's a very large, Russian assaulting element that is now pushing down towards Slovyansk. I'm going to tell you guys right now, Lyman is currently heavily contested. As of right now, we know the northern bridge into Lyman was blown, but I have seen indications that they've already set up pontoons, Russian pontoons, to get their men and supplies across. So, but other than that, on the eastern side of the country, there hasn't been a lot of ground lost. I would mainly look forward towards that northern portion of Slovyansk because I could see these two Russian elements closing off and trying to encircle the Ukrainians that are left inside of Lyman. But if the Ukrainians, I will tell you this, they are smart enough and have actually proven themselves in battle that if they are about to be surrounded, they are going to adjust fire and pull back into, well, the next largest city just south of them, which they're probably going to do. Well, we're going to slide down to Mariupol. So we're coming out of the northern side of the country. We're going down to Mariupol, which is just down here. It's a very small sliver that is still being held. The Russian troops have actually reportedly managed to break into the main complex of the Azovstal plant. Heavy fighting is currently going on, and I'm going to tell you guys right now, there's no connection between the Ukrainian fighters in and out. And I have been told that they actually did repel the initial attack that came in today. But if you guys were wondering what it looks like on the ground from inside the plant, I have a video I'd like to share with you guys right now.
Слышь, ты видел яму там, которая не взорвалась? А? Видел там вот тупо траншея, которая не взорвалась?
Да.
Прикольно.
All right, so that's pretty much the deal that is going on. There hasn't been a lot of movement. I hope you guys do realize inside of war, there are times when there's a lull in fire, I guess you would say. And I feel like we're not entirely in one, but I feel like there's just not a lot of ground being taken by either side. And with that being said, the longer these Ukrainians can hold out, the less supplies the Russians are going to have.
And the weaker they're going to get. And I think that's their game the entire time is that long game.
The long game. The game of attrition.
And here's the other thing, too. Like, what's the international community? You got to ask yourself, why wouldn't the international community go and help out? Because every day Russia stays in that country, the weaker Russia gets.
Weaker they get. I saw a figure. I think they've spent $7 billion so far just on missiles that have been shot. I think it was $7 billion. Anyway, hope you guys enjoy this video over here or podcast, whichever you listen to. I do love you guys. We are out. Thank you so much.